Welcome to another episode of We Don't Die. I'm your host, Sandra Champlain, author of the international best-selling book called We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death. And just a reminder, my home base is wedontdie.com, where you can always find our free Sunday gathering inspirational service, including a medium demonstration, classes, and there's now over 600 hours of my podcasts between my two shows. Today, I'm very excited to introduce you to our guest. Dr. Antonio Harrison is a board-certified behavior analyst at the doctorate level and has a master's and PhD in applied behavior analysis. Much of his work focuses on health, sports and fitness, wellness, leadership, and self-management. He is a graduate school professor, keynote speaker, fitness coach in a virtual reality app called Supernatural, and also a podcast host. Now, why I am so excited. It was just over 2 years ago that my good friend Scott Milligan, who's been on the show many, many times, told me about this thing called an Oculus, okay? It's a 3D headset. And as someone who's always been challenged by weight and exercise and never finding something that I like, he told me about it. And he told me about these great apps that are available. So I get the headset, purchase what's called Supernatural. And as God is my witness, this thing has been on my head every day for over 2 years, and I never miss a beat. There's boxing, there's flow, there's also meditations. There's different coaches that appear in 3D. It's the coolest thing ever. And our guest today is one of those coaches. And why I invited him to be on, and we certainly do want to hear his beliefs on the afterlife, but this man has empowered me every single day. If I've had a bad day, he's lifted me up. He makes me feel like $1 million, and I know he does with everyone else. He just has a way of speaking to people. Although he's speaking to probably hundreds of thousands, it feels like he's just speaking to me. He always finishes his routines and his meditations by saying, "Much love always." And it's no wonder that his website is muchlovealways.com. So I know you'll be as excited as I am. Dr. Antonio Harrison, of course, I know you as Coach Doc. Welcome to We Don't Die Radio.
Thank you, Sandra. I feel like I should hire you for all of my intros moving forward.
I will do it. I've done voiceover work. I can do whatever it is you need. Honest to God, though, you've made such an impact in my life. And so much of this show, yes, we want to hear stories of the afterlife, but then it's like, okay, we go on. Well, what's our life for? What is it all about? How do we live the best life? And I just know from the difference you've made in my life that you'll make a difference in others.
Thank you.
So with that,
it's humbling.
Tell us a little bit about you. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about you, where you live, your family. I know you're married with kids.
I am.
How you got into the field you're in. We'll start with
So
that.
I'm born and raised Pasadena, California. I've lived there all of my life. I left for 4 years and went to college in Iowa at Grinnell College. I played college football. It was a pretty bad knee injury that brought me home because I had no plans on returning to California. I love the Midwest. I just absolutely love it. There's something genuine and sincere about it. Even if people don't like you, they're genuine and sincere. So I ended up coming home and was an elementary school teacher and then started coaching high school football and met my wife. We got married. I've got three boys, 14, 11, and 9. And we just recently moved in August to West Covina. We are going to move again this upcoming August. We're not sure where yet. We're kind of making that decision by the end of April. But yeah, in terms of how I got into the field, are you talking behavior analysis or are you talking fitness?
How about both?
Okay. Behavior analysis, I was an elementary school teacher. I was working as a bouncer on the weekends, and three nights a week, I was working front desk graveyard shift at a 24-hour fitness. I didn't know what I wanted to do. It wasn't a money thing. It was just, I'm bored. I need activity. I don't know what to do. And so I said, you know what? I think I'm going to go back to school. And I looked around, and behavior analysis just made sense. I've always observed people, paid attention. As I look back on it now, it was a survival skill. I had to be very aware from a rough childhood of like where the exit is, who's an unsavory character, who's safe, who can I go to? And so it just gave me a keen sense and awareness of my surroundings and also the people within those surroundings, and to watch patterns. And behavior analysis and human behavior is all about patterns. And as far as fitness, you know, I started coaching football and you've got to train those athletes. And I've always been an athlete all my life. I was teaching graduate school as a full-time professor and I got burned out and quit and was like, you know what? I want a job where I can still teach, have fun, be in front of a room full of people, but something a little more fun, a little more physical, and a little less mental brain power having been so taxing. And so I went on Craigslist and I found a job as a fitness instructor at a boutique treadmill studio and showed up there, and kind of the rest is history. It's just kind of taken off.
How did you get involved with the supernatural folks?
Leanne was my manager at the boutique studio. I was there for about 2 years. And Leanne, for those who don't know, she's another coach in the app. She left and everyone just assumed, you know, her run with this thing is over. She just wants to move on and do different things. And that company got bought by a corporation that franchises these boutique studios all over the US and Canada. At that time, they wanted to turn it into more of a Peloton style where you get on camera and someone can run on the treadmill and watch their coach. And I auditioned, I got it, I did really well. And they showed my video at the fitness expo. And I believe Leanne saw it when she was walking around with the founders of Supernatural. And I got a text one day that said, hey, do you want to come audition and be a virtual reality fitness coach? And I was like, I don't know what the hell that is, but I'm down. And so I showed up, did the audition. They said, do you want to give this a shot? And I said, let's rock and roll. And we're going on 4 years now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love all the coaches. Supernatural is something like no other. And I hope just by people watching this episode today, it's a wonderful world. And for someone who's always had weight problems and exercise is like, it is so much fun. I dance around this room, I'm boxing, I'm using the flow, whatever. And you guys make it so much fun. You always mix it up. There's current music and I will be a member for life.
Thank you.
Gets me out of bed in the morning, keeps me active. Yeah. And I think I wrote you many months ago just to tell you, words that you say, there's something about you, and I love all the coaches. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's got their own flavor. But for who I am and my path in life, it's like, holy cow, this guy's talking right to me. And you do. You empower me. Life isn't easy. People see on camera. I'm always smiling, but there's some tough days. And then I just get like a shot of Coach Doc and puts it all in perspective. So let's get on your thoughts. First of all, we can talk about life after death, just your beliefs. Yeah. No right or wrong. But do you believe that we go on after this earth?
Interesting. I don't know if I would call it unique. It's unique to me because I don't know anyone who shares the sentiment. I'm not scared of death. I've had close people to me pass away, but it doesn't hit me emotionally in the way of the grief that it normally does for others. And it's because, you know, you can believe whatever religious text may tell you, whatever's in your heart in terms of your relationship with spirituality, or if you believe that we go into darkness or nothing. I don't know. And if I don't know something, I would rather err on the side of something positive. So I wonder to myself, what if death is what we're here for? Everything on this planet has a natural cycle of birth and death. So what if that's the point of us being alive, is to die? Doesn't mean I want to go fast. Doesn't mean I wouldn't be sad if something happened to my children or if I left them early. But what if it's the most beautiful thing on the other side of death? So when that happens, I don't know if it's going to be similar to waking up from a dream, right? I dream every single night vividly, and those feel really real to me the same way this real world does here. So what if it's the same thing? What if it's like the same way in which you were born, all of a sudden from nothing, there's something? You know, I'm just unsure. And so if we do go on, I don't know where we go on to. I do know that energy can't be destroyed. So I know that we're all made from the same stardust. I don't necessarily want a physical form to return. I don't know if there's a reincarnation, but I would hope that there's still some form of consciousness and energy that I can experience something. And if I don't experience anything and it is just darkness, well, then it's just darkness. I wouldn't know either way. So that's kind of my approach to the thought of life after death.
Yeah, and nothing wrong with it. You know, the deeper I know with anything we get into it, the more and more unfolds. It's like an ever peeling onion. So I've made that my life, really, to keep peeling back the layers of the onion. And then the 26 years, the stories I've heard, even my own psychic experiences, doing ESP work and remote viewing, I know our consciousness is not just held within our body. I know we are so much more. And I know in some of the meditations that you lead, I'm like, this guy gets it. Do you create all of those?
I write every single one.
Holy cow. Yep. Amazing.
I think we're on like 135 now at this point. It's a whole process I go through. It takes me probably a total of 45 minutes to an hour. And yeah, I write every single one by hand in a free-flowing state. So the night before, whatever I'm feeling or think the members are feeling intuitively, I will go through the dictionary, find a word. From that word that I feel is just the right one, I will then write a description or theme around it. I will put that title on two sheets of paper, number the pages, leave it on my desk. The next morning, I wake up, I do my meditation with that in mind, my own personal meditation for 20 minutes. And then I just immediately sit down and I just write. Write. As soon as it gets done, I appreciate you. Much love always. Fold it up, stick it in my bag, and then go record it.
I don't swear on this show. I'd like to with a holy, I'll say holy cow. I've interviewed people not too long ago, some parents whose children have passed, and there's a similar meditation to connect with them and then just let words flow on the paper. Yeah. And they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's their children speaking. I know I've taken courses and explored this myself, doing a similar practice to you. And the words just come out and then I read them back. Sometimes it's just the words I need to hear.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's poetry. Sometimes I have to look up words thinking, is that even a word? And it is some old English word or something. So you are testament to we are greater than we know ourselves be.
Yeah, I never edit. And I remember once Leanne asking me, like, do you ever go in and listen to your meditations for the sake of just getting better for your own feedback? And I was like, no, I wrote them. This is coming straight from the heart in a certain space. And there's nothing I need to change or touch up about them. It'll hit for whoever it needs to hit for. And who it doesn't, it doesn't.
It hits. And I know, can I call you Doc? It feels weird
calling
you. Doc
or Antonio, just don't call me Anthony.
No, I won't. I've only known you as Coach Doc. That's it. Anyways, I know for myself, when I've done this practice and you write the meditation, I'll write just some inspired writing. There's something I personally believe that comes from our soul. You know, it's not just our mind, it's our soul. I can't hardly believe that you don't rehearse them, look at them, write them, edit them. That is shocking to me because they touch my soul. And nice. Same with your routines with boxing and flow. Flow is like these swords.
Yeah.
Balloons are flying out. It's just the best. But you're so present in that too. And although you're looking at a camera, you're looking at me. You're looking at who's ever doing it. So you are present. And I think it's in those moments that you're probably in the zone and it's your soul shining through also. So awesome job.
Trying my best.
Well, I speak on behalf of all folks that have the Supernatural app. Thank you. It works. And a shout out to the other coaches as well, because you guys are awesome. Just awesome. And all the people behind the scenes, because
yes.
I know there's a big team. Let's talk about some of the things that you talk about within the meditations. Talk about what it is to be human. Talk about things like gratitude, being of service, tips for helping people live a powerful life. Can we just go into wherever that's
yeah. The biggest tip I like to tell people is there's elegance in simplicity. Keep it simple. Oftentimes we think that intelligence is compounding upon things and adding when real intelligence is taking something and stripping it to its most basic fundamental components. So to be able to do that for yourself, when your mind is racing, when you're nervous or anxious about a situation or problem, when you're overthinking things, or when you just want to do something simple, go to the store. Everything is pretty basic and simple. It's just a movement of one moment to the next. And everything that's already happened has happened. Anything in the future, there's, it's not in your control, right? What is happening right here, right now, and just being in that moment and keeping it simple is one of the most powerful tools I've ever come to be able to embody.
Keeping it simple also means being in the present moment.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. I just want to bring up, you've got some great breathing exercises that you do. Maybe we can do one. Can we just give people a
tip?
Yes.
Sure. All right. Go ahead and get comfortable in your chair. You can rest your hands on your lap and sit up nice and upright, and feel free to close your eyes unless you're driving. Don't close your eyes. You can still do this. And all I want you to do first is just feel your body where it is, your feet on the ground, in a chair. Feel your body contacting whatever you're contacting. Embrace your presence in the moment. Start to follow where your breathing is now. And then I want you to take a nice deep breath in through the nose, filling the belly, then the chest with air. Then hold it for a second. And then gently exhale out of the mouth, pulling that belly button all the way back to your spine. Another deep breath in. Hold. And release. Another deep breath in. Hold. And release. And now just take 30 seconds to let your breath naturally fall into a rhythm that feels comfortable for you, breathing just through the nose, feeling the air pass over your lip, coming out and exhaling back over your lip, feeling your body in your space. Let everything sink into its place. And then give me one more deep breath in. And immediately release it. And feel the difference.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Mind is quiet. I feel still.
It's our life present. It's our life force.
Life force. And in that, we can keep it simple. Let's talk about life, because I think this is just what empowers me, that when we pass, there's another world similar to this. Our loved ones are there. It's all great. Good things happen. And we come to Earth. There's not that. Certainly there's joy, but there's the flip side of that. And I think we're here to experience all we can, to experience different emotions. That's what empowers me, to learn, to be of service to others, and love.
Yes.
But most of the time, it's really hard. Things are coming at us, as you know. Life happens. There's relationships. Just talk about getting into that breath, being present, and the challenges that come. Looking at life maybe through a different perspective other than being a victim.
You know, a lot of people will talk about having a positive mindset. And what I like to say is fake the funk. They'll try to be cheerful all the time and find the silver lining. And quite frankly, I don't want that experience in my life. I want to feel the entire spectrum of human emotion. Do I want to live in the down part of it all the time? No. Do I want to stay there for a long time? No. But if I'm angry, I'll allow myself to be angry. If I'm sad, I'll allow myself to be sad. If I'm happy, I will allow myself to feel that joy. But I also, especially on the more negative side of emotion, I have the choice to stop, stay still, breathe, and think. I can just pause for a second. There's so much stimuli and so many things being thrown at us, and it's overwhelming. Our brains physiologically cannot take it all in at once, which is why we miss so many things. It's interesting because it almost feels as though we've forgotten how to live at points. And two of the examples I always bring up is, I know we're both old enough, and I'm assuming your listeners may be. Do you remember when it used to be a point where I only had a house phone? So if I wasn't home and you tried to call me or contact me, you just missed me. Right. Like, I was thinking the other day, how did I get it? Like, I know I talked to my friends in high school, but like, was it always on a house phone? Like, how did we get in contact with each other? And there was just a lot more peace to it. And then when COVID hit, one of the beautiful things I saw that I know it was driving a lot of people crazy was, oh my God, there's these children and my spouse in the house and they're constantly there. And I thought to myself, this is what you were with family and lived with other humans all the time. This is what it was. This is how you were working together on whether it was, you know, a farm or whatever it may have been. Like, this was your nuclear unit that you were with 24/7. Your kids didn't go to school 8 hours a day, right? You weren't at work for 10 hours a day. This was you all working together to make life work. So yeah, if there's one thing I wish people would do more often is just slow down for a second. That task is still going to be there. That problem is still going to be there. All the stuff that you could possibly do throughout the day, it's still there. But take a second for yourself. It's okay to just slow down, take a moment. And it's the reason why, you know, with three kids, this is relevant, with three kids and a wife, my work, all of their extracurriculars, I don't have a lot of time to myself, but it's very important that I have it. So I've always been a night owl, but I had to change my patterns to become a, not necessarily a morning person, but I'm up by 4:30, 5 o'clock a.m. every day because no one else wakes up till 7. So that 2 hours, 2.5 hours, that's me time. That is me and my energy and quiet solitude, being comfortable with who I am and what I'm all about. In just my presence, just being here. I feel like it's really hard for a lot of people to just be alone and in silence with themselves. And I don't think it should be that way.
There's power in that time.
Very much so.
Being with ourselves. Can you talk about fear? I know people say false evidence appearing real. Well, it sure feels real.
Yeah.
Any tools to work through fear?
One of the things I like to tell myself when I'm scared of something is, what's the best that could happen, right? Because we're always thinking about what's the worst that could happen. And it's, well, what's the best? How positive could this go that I'm scared of? And majority of the things that we fear is based off of our own assumptions and our arrogance and that we can predict the future. We can't, right? I know what real fear is in the moment, having a weapon pulled on you, where you are stuck in paralysis. That is different than the fear of, I got to make this phone call to break up with this person. That's just different. It is completely controlled by oneself. But fear is a real emotion. I don't downplay it, but I also don't have a lot of it. And that's also to a commentary on my life coming up. Like, I would see kids in school be nervous and afraid, and whether it's about a girl or a guy or a test or a grade. And I thought to myself, like, what I go home to, this doesn't bother me. How could I be scared of these trivial things when there's real fear inside of the house, where your father is using in the home and carrying a butcher knife, and your sister, and you have to stomp around the house to make your presence known so there's no fatal accident, right? And so that's real fear. Me being scared about someone who doesn't like me? No. So that's my one of my big tools for fear. And the other thing is, if I cannot get this fearful thing out of my mind, I play through, well, what happens if the worst does happen? And I'll give you an example. I had one of my high school football players come up to me, and he was just so stressed. and he wasn't sleeping. And I was like, I've noticed something's off with you. What's going on? And he goes, my parents are really all about college. He kind of had some helicopter parents when it came to grades. And I don't think I'm going to get in and I don't know what's going to happen. I was like, okay, well, play this out with me. Give me the worst possible scenario. He goes, I don't get into college. My parents disown me and kick me out of the house. I go, okay, so what would you do? He goes, I don't know. I mean, I was like, no, go with me. What would you actually do? And he was like, well, I would probably get a part-time job working with cars and then go to community college. And then once I saved up enough money, maybe start my own car detailing business because I love to detail cars. And then I would have enough money for my own home and apartment. There it is. You just played out worst case scenario in your mind. If the worst thing happens, you have a solution. You know your next steps. He got into college, obviously, but even after college, one of the great things was he called back to me and told me, I've started my detailing business. Here's my card. You ever want your truck detailed? Bravo. Bravo.
That's great. So best case scenario, worst case scenario, deal with it in your mind first and then go forward.
Go forward.
Which leads me to the next, this fear business. We all have this voice in our mind. Why it doesn't tell us the good stuff. Normally it's what's wrong with us, has us be fearful. Do you have any tips for either making friends with this voice in our mind, being powerful over it, not listening to it, because it can be brutal.
Yeah.
It can be brutal.
I wrote I guess you would call it a blog article just for myself. It was a conversation with that dark side of myself, the dark and the light having it. And it was written as a dialogue. And it all stemmed from, you know, the saying, I believe it's a Native American proverb about the dark wolf and the light wolf, which one's going to survive. And we've taken it as whichever one you feed. But the true fable in it is you have to feed both of them so that you can control both. Otherwise, if you starve one, it'll become ravenous and destroy the other one you're feeding. So if all you're doing is feeding that light, that dark will become very strong at some point. And it's not to say that you will be taken over by it, but there will be a moment where that thing will peek through and it could just be yelling at your children, but in a way that surprised you, right? It could be something as in you just had way too much to drink on a random night and you don't know why you got that inebriated. Like, so it could be a lot of different things, but I had this conversation with my dark side. And what I came to say was my dark side was upset with me that I never let it come out and play, that I never let it be a part of what's going on in my world, that it would be less aggressive. It would be, which my dark side is aggressive. My dark side is in a loving, socializing and partying and having a good time and getting yourself into all kinds of trouble. And it was like, I only go that hard because when you do let me out, I've been chained away for so long. So I go to the fullest extent. My light side was saying, we only kept you there because we thought you were bad for us because every time you came out of the locked cage, you went bananas. And we're like, we're sorry. We didn't realize you just wanted to come and hang out. And so once I had that conversation, it was, all right, well, if I do go over here and socialize, we don't have to take it to the extreme and end up on Mexico on Monday, right? right? on somebody's doorstep, waking up like, what happened? But then also my dark side was like, I will accept the light side saying, hey, it's time to, we're not doing this today, or we're going to go over here and enjoy this by ourselves in a peaceful manner. So I invited that side in so that it could be a part of everything. And eventually it just melds into one.
That's so great that you talk about this. Out of all the years I've been exploring and looking at what it is to be human, I've never heard it said quite that way. And it's also very simple to have that conversation. Have a journal, have your computer open, whatever. Yep. Have that conversation. It might be an ongoing conversation. I think that's amazing.
I think to myself, especially for people who have been through a lot of trauma when they were younger. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you closed your eyes, went back and talked to that person? What would you say to them now? And don't think of them as you. Think of them as a 12-year-old you're talking to. Would you say all those, like we were talking about earlier, that voice, would you say all the nasty, mean things to that 12-year-old? You wouldn't. You would embrace that 12-year-old with love. You would tell them it's going to be okay. You would tell them it's not their fault. Have that conversation, right? And there's all types of conversations you can have with yourself, with your dark and light side, with others out there who have passed away.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because you end everything with much love always, which love is the most powerful thing in the universe. And let's talk about that, because we do have people here whose loved ones have passed. I think a lot of people come to this show for that reason. There's self-love, there's loving others, and there's also having those conversations and that love with someone who has passed. Can you just open up on your views on love?
Love is one of the most interesting energies in the world. I remember I took a grad school course on behavior analysis and love, and we were given a project of, because in this science, we talk about everything being observable and measurable. And the project was, what could you do to express your love to someone so that everyone else in the world knew you loved them? It was really hard to come up with that. I don't even remember what mine was, but it was just like, it's a thing that can drive you crazy in a good way, in a bad way. But it's also a thing that allows you to communicate in a very effective way, in a very meaningful way. And for those with passed away, do you remember the movie Saving Private Ryan? I think it's such a beautiful scene where he's thinking about his brothers who had passed away. And instead of grieving and being so upset and sad that this person passed away and how much that affects him in the moment and how he's never going to see them again, what he did was thought about a positive memory they had together. He started laughing and smiling. And yeah, he cried, but what, it was tears of joy. It was those memories, they're there. That's still being in the present moment, having that time. I will go into meditation and I love to reach out to my Nana or my granny. Just talk, see what comes back. The hardest part about that is trying to tell yourself that, oh, that's just me talking to myself. That's right. Me using my brain, and it's not really, and just accepting whatever is being shared with you. It's usually something you need to hear.
And you feel their love?
All the time. I personally feel, again, I don't know where you go, but I know the energy doesn't die. But I personally feel my Nana and my granny are with me all the time. All the time.
You gave me goosebumps. That's how I feel about my dad and my grandmother as well. Energy can't be destroyed, and two or more forms of energy can be at the same place in the same time, right? So I think it's just a world within a world. That's so special. That really is. Wow. How about self-love? Let's bring it back for each one of us, because that's difficult. I know how to love other people.
Yeah.
I know how to be loving. But then you look in the mirror sometimes and, yeah, that voice kicks in. What is self-love like?
Self-love for me looks like taking that 2 hours in the morning for myself. Self-love for me looks like creating boundaries and not letting other people cross them. When I have set a boundary for myself emotionally, I'm not going to give you a pass on that. I don't care if you're my mom, my dad, my wife, or my children. There is an emotional boundary that I set in terms of what you can and cannot do to me, that I won't give you that control. And I also use signs from the universe to remind me. Where we used to live in Pasadena, on my back porch where I would sit every morning or even just hanging out, in the distance, you know, down the block, whatever, there's this huge tree. And there would always, we lived right next to the city of Arcadia, and their city bird is a peacock. And they would just let the peacocks roam, and it's illegal to touch them, feed them. So there's just, you know, you can come home and have 30 peacocks in your front yard.
Oh my goodness. Right?
But there was a peacock that when I was on point and loving myself, I never saw him. Ever. The moment I had gone into a dip of self-deprecating behavior, poor self-thought, and poor self-love and care, I'd go outside and bam, there'd be that peacock sitting there. And it would stay there every morning until I was back on track. And when I knew that that peacock was gone, okay, I'm back in it, right? It was my peacock. It was mine. And so being able to watch signs like that and see things like that, they're reminders. Because of course, I think when people share about this is how you do things, this is the best tips. And I also want people to understand, like, we don't all have it figured out either. These are just the experiences of things that have been successful for us, but we still run into bumps. I still run into bumps with self-love, and I know when I'm struggling, but I also know what to do to pull myself out of it.
I think that's the biggest thing, to have tools. Yes. We're all human. My belief is that when we are here, we forget who we really are. And we're much powerful than we know. But we have these reminders, these tools that we use. So here's some more tools. Is there power in affirmations? Is there power in gratitude? What are your thoughts?
Very much so. Gratitude-wise, anytime I'm not sure what conversation I want to have with the universe in the morning while I'm having my coffee, I just list off things I'm grateful for. And I don't try to find a sort of sequenced routine and say the same thing each day. I try to make it different every single time so I can see and pile up how many things I have to be grateful about. Yeah. What was the other part of the
affirmations?
Affirmations. I say affirmations often. One of the things I will always say without fail is anytime I pay for something, I say all that is invested is good and will return to me 11 times.
I like that.
Yeah. It eases any idea of scarcity.
Can you say that one more time?
All that's invested is good and shall return to me 11 times. I used to give my kids affirmations every single morning, dropping them off at school, and we would say them all together, and every single evening when they were going to bed. And these are never really affirmations of, I am enough, I am positive. It's affirmations of, your inner reality creates your outer form.
Absolutely.
They're perspective shifts for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So absolutely.
Something like that could be repeated.
Very powerful. All right. Now you're mentioning your kids.
Yes.
Tell us, you don't have to go into any details, but do you notice just from who you're being, and I'm sure your wife is a beautiful soul as well, that you have kids that are
She's mad at me today.
But, is she?
Yeah.
That won't last. But do you have kids that are positive? And I don't know, I just have this vision that they go through kid stuff, because they all do, but that they care for others and that they might have a little bit of you in them.
Yeah, it's interesting to see three human beings grow up in the same environment and be completely different people with completely different worlds. I'll start from the bottom and work my way up. My youngest, he is very much about self-care in that he's independent beyond belief. He potty trained himself. He taught himself how to ride a bike. The kid was cooking. He cooked himself lunch today. He made quesadillas. I mean, he's nine. He'll make eggs and you know, toast in the morning. And he's very kind with respect to his peers and just wants to have a good time and laugh and enjoy and just so lighthearted. My middle one is the biggest heart, just so compassionate. I think he's been here before, right? I just do. He's just got this old soul and this well-rounded approach to him. And he'll just come up and give you a hug and a kiss and say, I love you. And then like walk away, right? I'm winning this championship ring for my mom on this football game just so that he can get it and give it to his mom. He's just constantly giving and loving and loving. And he's also very sensitive because of it, right? But will help in any way that he can. My oldest son, it was interesting. There was a time in my life when he was in around fourth grade and I was really struggling. There's three kids. My marriage was on the rocks and I didn't know what to do. And I sat up one night at like 3 a.m. and just told my wife, like, I have to leave. Like, I'm not happy. And I ended up getting an apartment a mile or so away and stayed there for a year and had my kids 4 days out of the week. but then also watched them, the other three, while she was at work because I worked from home. But sitting them down and telling them that, the younger two didn't get it because they were so young. He started crying immediately. And there was a piece of him that broke that day, like a little small piece. And he was never quite the same kid again. So he is very introverted, very quiet, doesn't share a lot of emotion, almost seems emotionless at points. But when it comes to strangers and children, he's the kindest thing you could possibly imagine. He's just really good with kids. The other day, he texts me while he was at school. He's a freshman. And he goes, "Hey, Daddy, just so you know, I ditched first period." And I go, "What? Why?" He goes, "Well, there's a kid on the spectrum here at school, and other kids kind of bully him and make him do stuff, and they think it's funny. And he came up and showed everybody that he had been cutting himself. So, like, I just took the period to talk to him, to tell him, like, it's not okay. Like, are you okay?" And what 14-year-old is doing that? You know what I mean?
Not many.
So even though it may not be the relationship that I would like to have with him as strong as my younger two, or he knows the love I have for him, and I can see that displayed in how he shows love for the humankind. And so I won't take credit for it. I will just applaud it and be comfortable with what it is. And I won't stop sending him texts every day with affirmations. I send each kid a text at noon every single day of an affirmation that I come up with on the spot and end it with "love you, Dad" every single day.
What was today's?
Let's see. Today's was, "Not everyone is going to love you. Hell, not everyone is going to like you. As long as you like and love yourself, you'll be all right. Love you, Dad."
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you for being open and vulnerable too about your relationship and stuff. Because a lot of people think that, you know, to me, you're famous. You know, like I'm talking to Coach Doc here. But the thing is, what makes you so likable and lovable and all those good things, and the other coaches as well, is you're real. And we can see ourselves in you. And that's what's needed to be a good leader. It's not showing all the good stuff all the time. We want somebody we can relate to. And that's who you are.
Thank you. And that's why I try to make sure everyone knows, like, I don't have everything figured out. I'm trying my best like everyone else. But I am willing to share. I'm willing to be wrong publicly. I am willing to listen and have my mind or opinion swayed. I am willing to feel and show who I really am. Like, people say, "Oh, you're famous, or you're blown up." I'm like, I'm just a regular dude with a cool ass job, right? And like, I'm very aware that the only reason I exist in that realm is because of folks like you who actually utilize the thing. There's no me without you. That doesn't happen. You know, so I'm just as grateful for the journey.
That's how I feel about my listeners and viewers. I'm just a girl, usually in my PJs,
right?
Recording things. And yes, I get dressed for these kind of things. Now, you mentioned your wife and that she's mad at you.
Yes.
I know, I'm just reading a book that it's human nature to look for negative, right? Just in everything, even if things are fantastic in our life, we automatically look for negative. And I'm not saying your wife does this at all, but there are other people in our lives. And so if you could speak a little bit about commitments to relationships and finding the good and sending much love always, that everything's happy and she's not mad at you anymore. But right, just we have different players in our lives and it makes it very difficult.
It does. And the toughest part about it is, not all relationships are going to work out. They're just not. My closest friend from childhood, don't even speak to him anymore. He was the type of gentleman that when he gets in a relationship, he disappears from friendship. I told him, you know, I can't keep calling and reaching out to you, asking you to be my friend and still be around. And my kids are asking about you and you only come around when it's convenient for you. If you're going to be my friend, it needs to be reciprocated. And after having that conversation three times over a span of 2 years, love you, but that relationship's done. It'll never be the same. He could show up here tomorrow and want to be around every single day. You just can't anymore. It's never going to be that way again. And so one, not all relationships are going to go where you hope they're going to go. And no relationship will ever be perfect. Right? You have to find the things that gel well with you. For example, yeah, I say my wife's mad at me, but my wife and I, we don't yell at each other ever, right? We actually have an understanding of if there's something we really need to talk about, we sit down and go, can we have a talk? And we know that that means we're going to talk as friends without the hardcore emotional attachment of marriage. We're going to talk as individuals, sharing how we feel and listening in that way without the other attachments. So it's about growing together, challenging each other, and someone who's willing to tell you the hard truth when nobody else will. I love my buddy to death. I love my wife and kids to death. But if I see something that I feel is not beneficial for our relationship, not beneficial for me, not beneficial for them, I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you from love.
Those are good words. There's a lot of people that are listening and watching right now who have family relationships that are not good or severed. And I've done a lot of research. When a family member dies, often relationships come apart. Mm-hmm. Marriages can split, siblings not talking to each other. I found out 1 in 3 people have that happening within their own family. My family the same. And that's what got me interested in researching grief and why people do what they do and all of that. So there's something that is in me, just, I think it's in my humanity that, okay, if I'm not talking to one of my friends, okay, bye-bye. But it's different, I think, when it's somebody that you're related to, when it's family, but it can be just as tough.
It can. People often ask about my dad because of his drug use and in and out of jail, because he's one of my best friends. And they go, how in the world, going through all the stuff you went through and been the places and seeing what you see, how is that one of your closest friends? And it's because, one, he never lied to me. He owned everything, which gave me the opportunity to say, do I want to forgive him? Do I want to continue this knowing who he is? I also got to know him in his childhood and go, it makes sense why you kind of went down this path. And the last time he ever got in trouble, it was when my kids were really young and he did a year in jail. And I told him, you know, because I would always visit him and I was on the phone with him and I said, Dad, you can write me. I will take your phone calls. I will not visit you and I will not bring these kids up here to see you. They're not going to see what I saw. And so having that hard truth with him is what got him sober. You will miss out on your grandchildren's life. And I'm willing for that to happen, even though I love you so much, for the sake of another relationship, right? For the sake of my relationship with these little people, for the sake of our relationship, so that if I did bring them here, I'd harbor so much resentment towards you. It's the effort that you put in and the effort that's reciprocated. My closest friend is a guy from college who, if you looked at him and we stood side by side, you'd be like, there's no way these dudes know each other. Like, there just wouldn't. He lives in Decorah, Iowa. I visit him every year and we get on the phone on the first of the month, every month, like clockwork for the last 7 years. And we'll talk for 2 hours. And 3 days before the end of the month comes up, you want to do Friday or Saturday? What time? Cool. And we're on the phone. But it is a reciprocation given back and forth. So, you know, those relationships are powerful and it family's even harder. But at the end of the day, too, it comes back to that self-love and those emotional boundaries, what you will accept and will not in your life.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And we don't know, like your dad or any other human being, their past, what made them who they are. There's lots of information going on any given moment, and we perceive things differently.
So, and the funny thing is, if you just ask, they'll tell you. And then you'll be like, oh, you were on your own homeless at 12 years old. Of course you became a criminal. What were you going to do to survive? This was in the, what, I don't know, the 40s, 50s in Florida on the streets? What? I get it, Dad.
I get it. I get it. And forgiveness is so powerful, really, mm-hmm. not to hold that resentment inside because it eats us up.
Yeah, completely. I try not to harbor anything against anyone. You know, trust a snake to be a snake, a dog to be a dog, a cat to be a cat. Like, trust people for what they show you. That's showing you what they are. Don't be upset when they bite you. It's what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Right?
Last question, and then I'll ask you for any closing thoughts you might have. Yeah. I want to talk about your website and things too, but being of service, I love that. Having our eyes set on someone else or something else, of being of service, does that make a difference to you in your life? All the coaching you've done, all the people you've worked with, all the students. Talk about being of service to others. And is that valuable?
It's funny because being of service to others is actually a huge ego trip. It is, in the sense of, it feels so good to be kind to other people. You feel good about the interaction. They feel good. You feel good about yourself for being a good human being. I'm so fulfilled in being of service to people, because to see someone smile, or to see that I just said hello to this person, I don't think anyone said hi to them all day, right? I'll never forget, I've had it happen at two different programs I coached at, where a kid will get up at the banquet and speak about me and apologize to their dad in the room, but say that I was like a second father. And I'm in my early 20s, right? And then the dad come over and go, my son had nothing to apologize for. Like, I am so grateful for you being in his life. If you don't get a warm feeling that makes you tear up in moments like that, because you've done so much for someone and you can see that you've made an impact in their life, it's hard for me to understand where your heart is. It feels so great to be of service to other people. And also to know that, like, maybe the fact that you couldn't help this person was the service that they needed. They needed to know that I wasn't the one to be able to help them, and they could only help themselves. So it's one of the greatest things of satisfaction I get out of what I do, what I've been doing. It's still hard for me to believe sometimes the impact that it does make, though.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. You never know. I've interviewed a bunch of people that have had near-death experiences, and they talk about this life review, right? You always hear about the life review. And one thing that's very interesting to me is they say you see your life from the how you impacted other people. So there's negative things you learn you could do differently. Nobody's judging you. This is like a self thing. This is what I believe. But then you see the ripple effect of your actions on people's lives, and those kind words that you gave, or those moments that you empowered somebody, and just where it goes. Yep. And so I hold on to that. Like, it's just such a great thing. And to live life as if all that's going to happen, and ask for forgiveness if needed, or whatever those things are, anything that we can do here. I just think it makes a difference in the big picture. And like you said, it feels good. It feels really good to be kind.
Yeah. And if you just think about when someone's kind to you and have gone out of their way when you didn't expect it, or if it was a stranger, like, how taken back you are by that. And you have the power to do that for other people. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? You know how good it feels when someone does it to you. Why wouldn't you do that for other people?
Absolutely. I love it. Let's talk about your website. I'm so grateful I asked you what it is. And you said muchlovealways.com, because it's so easy to remember. And I hear it a zillion times. But I also was surprised that you do coaching sessions with people. You can schedule an hour with Coach Doc, and you write on your website, whether trying to find yourself, change a habit, or starting a mindful practice, allow Coach Doc to help guide you through the process.
I mean, I'm state board certified. Like, there is a PhD behind my name, and I am allowed to provide therapies. Now, my therapy isn't, and sessions are not, they're not talk therapy. I don't sit you on my couch. And my hope, and it's the perspective I got from my science and the interventions and treatments we do, is my hope is that you come to me, we get you headed in the direction that you want, and teach you the new skill you need and how to acquire other skills, so that I never see you again.
Love it.
I don't want to see you again. I want you to come to me for as long as needed, and then I'll never see you again. I'm going to teach you how to fish, right? And so, yeah, I do have one-on-one sessions.
You do them on Zoom?
I do them on Zoom. I used to do them in person, but I feel like after COVID, everyone got comfortable with being virtual.
Oh, yeah.
And I can reach more people that way. Yeah, so I do one-on-one sessions. I do a lot of keynote talking. I put all of my stock into relationships, into people. That's my currency.
I think it's amazing. What else can we find on your website? People can get in touch with you.
So you can get in touch with me for sessions. There will be links for the podcast stuff. There's also, if you wanted to book me for a keynote talk, I think I've done 37 in the last 2 years, US and Canada.
Great.
And, you know, I've had some merchandise on there, but that's not really a thing of mine. It's just like t-shirts with cool sayings. And but really, it's just a place for you to be able to get a hold of me if you want to have a conversation about whatever you want to have a conversation about. And also a 100-day challenge journal. It helps give you a whole perspective shift on life with different challenges every single day.
That's great. Muchlovealways.com. And let's just do a big shout out to our friends at Supernatural. You just get one of these headsets, right? This one's called the Oculus. And then just go find an app, Supernatural. It is the best.
Oh, I love it.
It is the best. That is the best thing I can say about it, truly.
Yeah, I can't even believe what my job is. Like, it's baffling. And I'm so grateful for it. And then the support that you see online, you know, social media can be a really nasty place. And this just isn't. I'm going to ride this wave as long as I possibly can.
Oh, please do. Because I love seeing you and the others when I put that on. Folks, they show up three-dimensional right there. Big smiles. Just empowering you. Plus, I love boxing. I mean, these things are flying out at you and you punch and then you get the swords, you do flow. It is fun. And it's just like having a dance party. You don't think of it as exercise.
Oh. I'll tell you, when I first went to audition, I was thinking to myself, this is a really cool opportunity, but how am I going to lie to these people and try to say that I believe in their product? Like, there's no way this is going to be exercise. The first thing they had me did was try it. And after 20 minutes, I got out and I was sweating just as hard as I've ever sweated. And it was like I was playing basketball and I was like, whoa, what just happened here? I'm all in. I'm a believer. I'm all in. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah. And the training's there and you can start low and then there's moderate and then there's high intensity. There's short routines to long ones.
Oh,
there's
every music genre you can think of.
Every music genre. You can search for some of your favorite bands and songs. I love it. And there's lots of nice 80s stuff for me, right? I'm an 80s girl. I love it. So you folks at Supernatural who are watching, everybody, coaches, people behind the scenes. I think to me, it's the best move I've ever made in my life, or second best. I got laser eye surgery. I thought that was pretty great too. But having this in your home and you want to do it every day, I think I wrote to the Supernatural staff that you guys recorded a birthday one.
Yes.
And I just thought, that is great. You feel like you're talking to me, right? Happy birthday. Yay. Birthday. It's so special to me. So I'm really, really grateful. Any closing words, Antonio, Coach Doc?
I guess maybe I'll close with, it's on my bio of everything I ever have. It's something I think people can take in different ways and however you take it, but it is a mantra by which I live, which is I'd rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. So take that as you will, and much love always.
Oh, so great. Much love always. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It was a delight. It really was. And for our listener or our viewer, thank you for taking the time to be with us. Go check out his website, muchlovealways.com. And of course, I think you should all have Supernatural app. It's wonderful. I love it. My website is wedontdie.com, where, of course, I mentioned the free Sunday gathering. It's just an empowering service. We have just completed our fourth year doing it. get 150 to 200 wonderful souls that come. It's not religious at all. It's empowering. It's fun. There's music videos. And then the last 45 minutes is a medium demonstration. So yes, we connect people with their loved ones and you get to see how close that love truly is to you. Also at wedontdie.com, if you're interested in my book, We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death, at the bottom of the page, if you enter your name and your email address, it says you get the first few chapters. Here's the secret. It's the entire book. I don't want anything to stand between what I know and if you're experiencing grief or whatever. I want you to have it. So chapter 10 is about surviving grief. I think it's the most important chapter. The rest is good too. But if you're going through a tough time, I think you'll appreciate reading that. Also, I have this podcast, We Don't Die. I also have Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM network. And that's great as well. So between the two shows, I have over 600 episodes, which is quite a bit. I am committed not only in sharing about the afterlife, helping people through grief, but like this episode, who are we? How to have a powerful life while we're here and any tools that we can give. That's what I'm here for. So that's wedontdie.com. So in closing, my name is Sandra Champlain. I'm always so happy to be your host on We Don't Die Radio. I do believe that life is an education for the soul and that your life here on earth is very important. And in the words of our guests today, keep it simple. I think that's beautiful. So I'm going to say thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. And much love always. Bye for now.